Well, as we jump into this message, we've been going through these letters to the churches in Revelation. So there are seven churches that Revelation is addressed to. So before it gets into any of the crazy apocalyptic stuff, there's a very simple reason that this book is being written. And so we find that purpose within these letters. And they're written to seven very specific churches, but I think they speak really, really well to our situation today and even can speak to our church and to us individually about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be people of Jesus in today's day, and what it means to kind of stand for our faith in the midst of everything that life might throw our direction. So we get to this one about Sardis, and really the idea of what's going on in this particular letter is the idea of what it looks like when something has the appearance of being alive, but it's really not. You think about this and you think about different things that we try to, you know, maybe make into something that they're not. So we've got this dog at our house who's the joy of everyone but me. I mean, he's okay, but one night I'm going to bed, and this is Simon. I know it looks like a pile of blankets. He's one of those piles. There he is in all of his fluffiness under a blanket beside a body pillow. My daughter, Everly Kate, had decided that he needed to have comfort at night. And so Simon tends to think of himself as a human. Our kids tend to treat him like a human. He's not really a human. He's a dog. But this is kind of the pampering that he gets. And so I thought it was funny. I'm heading to bed a little later than everybody else. I take a picture of it, and we've gotten a good chuckle out of this. Now, Simon is very much real, though. Simon is very much alive. But there is another Simon that lives in our house that is not alive. And that is who we call Mini Simon. Mini Simon is a stuffed animal that looks almost identical to Simon. And it belongs to Everly Kate. And Everly Kate likes to think of Mini Simon as being alive. But I'm going to confront her on this at the next service when she's up there preaching with me. She knows that Mini Simon's not really real, that he doesn't really breathe, but he has this nice appearance of being alive. He has this appearance of being a real dog when in fact he is not. Now, when we think about that, and when we think about it from the perspective of faith, a lot of times in our faith journeys, we can give the appearance of our faith being alive when there's something missing and maybe we're not quite fully alive. We've maybe got the look of it, but we don't have the actual fullness of it. And so we would call this kind of going through the motions. And so our question for today as we look at this passage to the church in Sardis is, are we truly alive? Or are we just going through the motions? When you think about your faith, when you think about where you are in your spiritual journey, are we truly alive? Are we living as people who are truly alive? Or are we just going through the motions? Now, as we look at this passage, we'll kind of unpack a little bit what that looks like and how we can kind of be on alert to make sure that we are truly living as people that are alive. We get this message right out of the gate. So right after we get the little customary introduction to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? This is the very first thing that is said there. And remember, as we've been going through the series, these are the words of Jesus being spoken to these churches. And so Jesus is looking into their lives. He's looking into their churches. He's looking into their communities. And he's saying, this is what I see. From my purview, this is what I see. And this is what you need to essentially work on. And so this is what he says. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. In other words, you have the reputation of being alive. Maybe to the outside world, maybe to those people that are around you, you have the appearance of being alive, but Jesus sees beneath the facade and realizes that there's something missing there, that it's like they are going through the motions. Maybe they have the appearance of it and the reputation of it in the communities around them, but the reality is that their faith actually is dead. It doesn't have any substance to it. It doesn't have any life to it. Now, we think about this, and perhaps you've seen something that came across as very realistic. The other day, I'm going to pick on Emily a little bit. So the other day, she just goes, great, great, yeah. So Emily and Kenji and I were eating lunch over at a favorite neighborhood place called Covington's. So we're sitting there enjoying a great lunch, and there is a large group seated at the table next to us, and Kenji and I are kind of turned away from them, but Emily's got like a clear view of this group the entire time. And at this table, there was a child there who was playing with a baby doll that was probably the most realistic-looking baby doll any of us have ever seen. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, this thing, it probably goes to the bathroom. I mean, it was so realistic, so incredibly, you would have thought that it was breathing. But the kid playing with the baby doll kept like squeezing the baby's head like in a way that you wouldn't want to, a real baby. And so every time that happens, I mean, this went on for about 45 minutes. Every time that happens, Emily has like this cringe reaction of, oh my gosh, okay, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. And just has to like kind of regroup herself into knowing that, okay, this isn't really a real baby. It just has a very, very stark appearance of being a real thing. And it had the look of being alive, but it actually was not alive. Now, when we think about this from the perspective of faith, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to have the appearance of being alive when, in fact, our faith is dead? I think that it shows up when we don't live in the trust with God. You know, Kenji was praying just a few moments ago, and he was praying and believing for God to provide, for God to break through, for God to respond. But sometimes in our prayers, we don't have that faith. Sometimes in the way that we live, we might say that we believe that God will come through for us, but we live and we act in such a way as though it all depends on us or it all depends on someone else. It shows up in the ways that we act. Do we have the outward appearance? Are we giving signs that we truly belong to God in the way that we treat others and the way that we engage with others? Do we have a faith that looks like it has been activated and it is truly alive? Or does it look like we're just going through the motions? So Jesus has this concern for the church in Sardis. He looks at them and he says, you know, to the outside world, to the table next to you, looking over and glancing, you've got the appearance of being alive, but there's something missing. And so he gives kind of a prescription for it in the next couple of verses. This is what he says. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Now, that phrase right there, if you have hope for the future, if you have hope for the church, if you have hope for what your life might mean in terms of eternal purpose, that line right there ought to resonate in your soul. I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Jesus is saying, okay, you might be looking around thinking everything's been accomplished. You may be looking around thinking you have a good reputation and there's nothing for you to worry about. And Jesus is looking at you and saying, it's unfinished. There's more to do. There's more that you still have to accomplish. And so he gives kind of this cry of wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Now, in my household, we have varying degrees of how people wake up. So I wake up with 3 alarms, okay? If it's 1 alarm, I will not wake up. If it's 2 alarms, I will go back to sleep. If it's 3 alarms, third time's the charm, I will get out of bed and do what I need to do to get ready for the day. My son Asher is a rooster. We're convinced he's actually a rooster. He wakes up at the exact same time every single day, no matter what. Time change doesn't faze him. When the clock says 6:30, he's waking up. It's absolutely incredible. My daughter, Evelyn Kate, on the other hand, requires multiple nudges, multiple alarms, multiple reminders, and just has to constantly hear that echo of wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And this is the message that Jesus is kind of maybe having to kind of broadcast multiple times to this church of wake up, wake up. And the reason is because they are a church that has that reputation of not always being awake, not always being aware of what they're supposed to be doing, and maybe missing out on the opportunities that God has for them. And so Jesus says it this way in verse 3. He says, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Now Jesus is kind of given a little bit of a jab here, because the church in Sardis, that particular city, had in 2 times in their history been overtaken by their enemies because they slept through it. I mean, legitimately, they had thieves come in the middle of the night and take over their city. Even though it was a well-fortified city, on multiple occasions, they had their city overtaken because they were not alert, they were not awake. So for Jesus and him speaking to this group, this is a real concern. And so he wants them to kind of be real about their situation. He wants them to be real about the fact that they need to be awake, that they're not truly alive. But then also he wants them to be challenged. He wants them to see that there is more for them to do. He wants them to see that their deeds are unfinished. He wants them to see that there's more for them to do for the kingdom of God in their faith and for them to truly live into who God wants them to be as people who are truly alive. Now, I love that this particular passage, it just kind of works out this way sometimes, but I love that this particular passage fell on Children's Sunday. It's a Sunday where our kids are going to be leading in the next worship service. It's a great day of celebration, but it's also a very tangible reminder up front in front of the congregation that our work as a church is not done, that our deeds are unfinished, that there is more for us to do, that there is more opportunity for us, that there is a next generation for us to invest in. There's a next generation for us to keep building for and to keep ministering for and to keep being a church that is alive so that they can live into that living faith and encounter it for themselves. And so part of our challenge of wake up is recognizing the opportunities that are in front of us and the things that we might be called to do. And it's essentially saying, don't just be a church that goes through the motion. Don't just be a person who goes through the motions, who walks into the room, who checks it off the list that I came to church, walks right back out, maybe makes a stop at Sunday school. But is this a faith that is truly alive within you? Is this something that is resonating throughout your soul and throughout your week and throughout everything that you do? That's the kind of awakeness, that's the kind of being alive that Jesus is longing for that church in Sardis, and he is longing for you and for me and for everyone that gathers at this place, is that we would be people who are awake, we would be people who are truly alive, who are living out our faith, who are living it out in a way where it is not just a check mark on Sunday, but it is something from noon on Sunday until the next Sunday morning is resonating as something that's truly alive in our lives and everything that we do. And here is the payoff of what that looks like. All these letters to the churches, they kind of have like the similar formula where, you know, okay, there's a couple of things you might be doing well. Here are the things you're doing wrong, but here's the hope. And this is the hope that we're given in this particular passage. It says in verse 4, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes." What a great compliment there. "They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels." Jesus is saying, okay, you need to wake up, you need to be alive, but he's telling them in the midst of that there is hope, that we can still be people of hope. These messages that Jesus gives to these churches, we read them and we go, ooh, wake up. You have the appearance of being alive, but you're actually dead. And we think of them as like these grand rebukes. But in each and every case, and for each and every one of us, when we identify where we need to grow, when we identify where we need to mature in our faith, when we identify where maybe we're not quite alive and need to be woken up and brought back to life, in each and every one of those circumstances, we view it through the lens of Jesus being the resurrected Son of God. And through that, there is a hope and there is a life for each and every one of us. Now, in this particular passage, when we read that, the words there are not insignificant and would have resonated deeply with the people who first heard this. In ancient Roman times, many of the communities, when they went to execute people, so a lot of people who were Christians were executed, they were martyred for their faith. When you would go to execute someone, you would remove their name from the citizenship roll. You would take their names literally off the list as though they never existed. It would be erased. So when Jesus says these words to them, "I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels." What he is saying is it doesn't matter what the world around you does to you. It does not matter what happens in your circumstances in this earthly life. There is a hope and there is a promise and there is a reality that we get to live into because of what Jesus has done for us. And as we come to the table this morning, we come to the table as people who hopefully, through the experience of God's grace here at the table, are reminded of God's grace given to us through his broken body and his shed blood upon the cross, that it is an invitation to live as people who are truly alive and to live our lives in such a way that we are living out our faith, that we are living in that confidence and living into that hope. But we do it knowing that that pathway has been made for us, and the confirmation that we receive is the knowledge of seeing and experiencing that our name can't be taken out of that book. That name has been put there by Jesus. And because our name has, as we sing in one of the songs we sing in the service sometimes, the name written up in glory, it is a promise and a hope that gives us that hope and that sense of purpose and that sense of not only being alive in this life, but alive forevermore. And so when we come to the table, when we come to celebrate communion, it's not just a matter of going through the motions. It's a matter of remembering that we are people who are alive, and we ought to be people who live as people who are alive. The invitation to the table is that wake-up call. It's that alarm. It's that reminder that this has been given to us, that we could walk in the hope and live as the people who are forgiven by the grace of Jesus. And because of that forgiveness, because of that grace, we can walk and live and face everything that this world might throw our way with faith and confidence and hope as people who are truly alive.